everybody. You've witnessed this sort of thing before, Masterson?
Yeah.
You look kind of jumpy.
I thought we were going to do this alone. What are all these people doing here?
On occasions like this, the whole town turns out. It's the only excitement they get.
I suppose they're just curious to know who's going to win.
They always are.
Why are you waiting for her? Go ahead and draw her.
Okay, Masterson. You heard draw.
Right. The winning ticket is number 32.
Pink.
That was an excerpt from Raffles. Another of the books we recommend you to read, especially during the next half hour.
Meanwhile, for those who can't read, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are the Reverend Geronimo Phillips, Dukesley White Fang, Roger Thackeray Fanshawe and his educated budgerigars, Dame Edith Hotpot.
She's a nice dish.
To continue, Admiral of the Fleet Bert Scroop, Nurse Jasmine Lumley, and, of course, Mr. Kenneth Horn, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horn.
Hello, good evening. Well, I expect you're all wondering how I am. So let's look at the script and I'll be able to tell you. Oh, good gracious, it says I'm terribly. Terribly? Terribly what? I do wish that secretary would finish my sentences. Magistrates always do. And just listen to this mistyping. Apparently, as I was coming into the budio this morning, a finny thong happened. A man said to me, "Are you Henneth Corn?" And I said, "Yoss." And he said, "Well, I think you're a 1/3% exclamation mark." Honestly, she must have typed this script in boxing gloves. Well, that's gone down well with the taut-hand typists. Of course, the secretary I'm referring to is just pure fiction and mustn't be confused with our producer's secretary, who is just pure. And mustn't be confused. However, I've had an eventful week as usual. On Monday, I gave a young lady a lift in my car. And we'd only gone about half a mile when I ran into a tree. She smiled sweetly, turned to me and said,
"Wouldn't it have been simpler just to run out of petrol?"
On Tuesday, I'd send my shotgun to be repaired, so I just spent the day rather aimlessly at home. On Thursday, I decided to go to the pictures. I wanted to see a new film about a prisoner of war camp. Just a bit of escapism, I suppose. So I joined the queue at one of London's West End cinemas.
I can do two doubles at 25 shillings and one single at 18 bob.
I say, Commissioner, what about us on this side?
Well, frankly, I don't hold out much hope of your getting into this cinema today.
Oh, why not?
You're standing in a bus queue.
Oh. Well, where are the 2 and 9?
2 and 9? This isn't a local flea pit, you know. It's an elegant West End flea pit. Cheapest seats are 5 shillings and they're full up. Now, what about this one at 18 bob?
18 shillings for a cinema seat? It's sheer robbery.
No, sir. Foam rubber. Last word in luxury. Comfortable? Why, it's like sitting on Bridget Bardot's lap.
No, no, it's too much money. I'll wait for a 5-shilling seat.
You'll find it a bit parky out here. We always get a nasty cold wind on this corner. Come sweeping across from the ice cream parlour.
Oh, well, in that case, can I wait inside?
You wait inside?
Yes.
I'm afraid not, sir. If I let you do that, the fat would be in the foyer. Besides, the big picture's about to commence.
Well, I'm not going to pay 18 shillings. It's too expensive.
I'll tell you what I'll do, sir. Give us your 5 bob.
All right, here you are.
Right. Now, just sit down on this camp stool, and I'll tell you all about the film. Oh, put you in the picture, as you might say. Yeah, quite comfortable, sir.
Yes, thank you. Oh, just a minute. Excuse me, madam. Would you mind removing your hat? Thank you. That's better. Right, Commissioner, off you go.
Well, sir, first of all, a bloke comes out and bashes a gong, and then there's a piece of very dramatic music.
Wooden called its escape from Stalag 15 story.
R.N.
Well, now then, chaps. As senior British officer here, I think it's about time we organized an escape committee. Trouble is, there's been no coordination. So many tunnels have been dug in the last 6 months, the whole camp has collapsed twice. And look what happened last week in your hut, Beauregard.
I know, sir. I must admit that there was an embarrassing slip-up. The plan was sound enough, but somehow the chaps got left behind and three dummies escaped. Still, two of them got through, but one fell into the hands of Peter Brough.
How ghastly. How about you, Clark? Fancy thinking you could walk through the main gate disguised as Adolf Hitler.
Well, sir, it nearly worked. It was me pimpsoles gave it away.
Bad luck, Nobby.
Colonel Plumpton, if you ask me, the Germans know of our schemes in advance. There's an informer in the camp.
Yes, and I've got a pretty good idea who it is.
Well, don't look at me.
No, sir, but I mean that Major Trumpington, Hut C. There's something fishy about him. Have you ever seen him drinking tea?
No. No, why?
He doesn't crook his little finger.
No.
There's a piece of damning evidence for you, Colonel.
Look, sir, through the window. There he is now, standing in a flower bed.
Well, I suppose the Germans could have planted him. Get him in here, Clark, and we'll soon find out.
What are you going to do, sir?
Leave this to me, Beauregard. I'll soon put him to the test. This needs a subtle approach. Ah, there you are, Trumpington. We're just having some grub. Would you care to join us?
Thank you, sir.
Now, which would you prefer, crumpets or sauerkraut?
Crumpets, every time, sir.
He seems sound enough. Now, Trumpington, how are you settling in here?
Well, sir, with all these crude wooden huts, the barbed wire, the machine gun posts, well, it's not quite the same as Harrogate, is it, sir? Well, of course, I need hardly say there's one thing I miss terribly.
Oh, what's that?
First-class cricket. Colonel, you're crying. I'm sorry, sir. It was rather thoughtless of you to mention the old game.
I'm sorry. It's just that it's been so long since I've seen a game. How it all comes back, the excitement of a scrum, the line-outs, the thrill of a touchdown.
It has been a long time, isn't it? I hardly like to say it, sir, but that's rugby.
Good man, Trumpington. I was testing you, and you've come through with flying colors. Well, Beauregard?
Oh, yes, sir. He's as British as corned beef.
Look here. This is... I don't like that color.
Here, look, everybody. See what I've got.
Nobby, a radio. Where did you get it?
From one of the guards. I swapped it for an autographed photo of Vera Lynn.
Very well. Now, perhaps we can get some news from home. Switch it on.
American soldier in the blackout. That is the end of the news. Now it's time for Fosse's Favourites. And here first for Colonel Plumpton and the boys in Stalag 15 is your very own sweetheart of song.
Good heavens, it must
yes,
be.
Yes, it's Pat Lancaster.
Three little words. Oh, what I'd give for that wonderful phrase. To hear those three little words. That's all I'd live for the rest of my days. And what I feel in my heart, they tell sincerely. No other words can tell it half so clearly. Three little words, eight little letters, which simply mean I love you. Three little words, oh, what I'd give for that wonderful, wonderful phrase. To hear those three little words, that's all I'd live for the rest of my day. And what I feel in my heart, they tell sincerely. No other words can tell it half so clearly. Three little words, eight little letters, which simply means I love you.
jolly nice. I wish Pat Lancaster were here now.
So do I. Good night.
Quick, sir, hide the radio. There's someone coming.
Good heavens, it's Mussolini.
No, it's me, Nobby.
Oh, Clark, when will you learn? Mussolini doesn't wear plimsolls either.
Oh, well, sir, I'll just have to try something else.
Mad keen to escape is, Nobby, but then aren't we all?
Well, quite true, Beauregard. Now, do you chaps realize it'll be spring now in England? And near my home, the little yellow crocuses will be peeping through. The trees will be heavy with fragrant pink and white blossoms, and the air will be filled with the magic perfumes of spring.
Where do you live, sir?
Liverpool.
You know, sir, I was just thinking, when all this is over and our story can be told, I'd like Alec Guinness to play me.
Achtung! There you are, Colonel Plumpton. I wish to have a word with you.
Oh, congratulations, Nobby.
Nobby, what is this Nobby? I'm the German commandant.
Of course you are, Nobby, to the life.
What are you talking about?
And the voice, too. It's perfect.
He's more like a German commandant than the German commandant.
He's singing about Heili, Paramshit, and Dischereich, the dancing of Heben Abend. It's wieder Rotter, Achtung, Achtung, Achtung.
Sir?
Yes, Berrigan?
I don't think it is Nobby.
Enough! Your insults will get you nowhere. Colonel, may I remind you that your numerous attempts to escape are futile? Did you really think I would fail to notice 2,000 prisoners floating skywards in a homemade balloon? You must think the Germans are stupid fools.
What happened to them?
They escaped.
Bang!
Silence! It won't happen again. Tell me, Colonel, why are you so anxious to get away from this camp? Aren't you happy here?
Well, it's our duty to escape. It's just such a challenge that brings out the best in us. When all seems lost, the Englishman will somehow find a way out.
That's why Hampton Court Maze is so popular.
You English and your traditions?
We are very proud of our traditions. The Houses of Parliament, the law courts, the crazy gang.
I will never understand the British. By the way, Colonel, there's a new prisoner for you. Guards? Halt!
Hello, all.
Good gracious, sir. A woman.
My Jove.
Nobby, you've gone too far this time.
Nobby, my name's Phyllis Fairweather. I was captured with Ensa. Well, am I staying here? Ooh, whatever am I going to do alone in a hut full of big, strong men?
Sort that one out.
He's right, sir. It is going to be a problem.
Never mind, Beauregard. It's a problem we just have to wrestle with. Trumpington, put her down.
Well, I think I'm going to like it here.
Well, now, look here, Miss Fairweather. What exactly did you do with Ensa?
Entertain the troops, yes. Of course. You see, I played and I sang. I'll give you a sample now, only they've confiscated me concertina.
Well, it's just as well with Trumpington around.
I was very popular, you know. They called me the squeeze box of the forces. They loved me in the desert. My little act might not have been West End, but it gave the boys a chance to escape from it all.
I say, sir, she's given me an idea. If she was to give a concert in the recreation hut where the tunnel starts, we could get all the chaps there and organize a mass escape.
Well, sounds a good idea.
It'll never work,
Why
sir.
Why not?
You know what it's like to get the blokes to see an Ensa show.
Here, wait a minute. Do you mean to say I've got to see me head off while the audience disappears down a hole?
Yes. Yes, that's right. And Miss Fairweather, if you'll do it, when we get back to England, I'll see to it personally that you're made a dame.
Oh, lovely. I've always wanted to do pantomime.
Good, good. Well, that's the plan, chaps. Once outside the camp, make a dash for it. If all goes well, this will be the one show that will have a very long run. quiet, chaps. All right, as soon as the concert starts, proceed in an orderly fashion through that dirty great hole in the floor. Miss Fairweather, you're on.
Well, boys, I'd like to start my little offering with you in a little number dedicated to you. And good luck, Tommy Atkins, a Britain depends on you. Thumbs up, Tommy Atkins, grey skies will soon be blue. Airmen will swank up in the sky. I must be frank, I prefer the PBI. Oh, good luck, Tommy Atkins, Tommy will see you through. Now all together, boys, good luck, Tommy Atkins.
All right, all right, Phyllis, don't bother, they've all gone. Oh. Into the... quick, Phyllis, into the tunnel, quick. Run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, run, run. Run, rabbit.
Well, so we must be a good 3 miles away now.
Yes, but we must still be careful. Keep a sharp lookout.
Colonel.
Yes, Trumpington?
Are we anywhere near Japan?
Japan? I don't think so. Why do you ask?
Oh, nothing, sir. I just thought I'd... Yes. Look, there he is, coming over the hill.
Good heavens! It's Hirohito.
Get him, Japs. Get him.
Got him.
Get him.
Into the river with him.
No, it's me, Nobby. Look at me plimsolls. No, it's me, Nobby. No, wait. Pack it up.
And now it's time to listen to Bingo, which this week is sung by Nobby Clark, disguised as the Fraser Hayes Four.
There was an old dog and he lived at the mill, and Bingo was his name, sir. D-I-N-G-O. Banger and bumper and kicker and copper, and Bingo was his name, sir.
You sing banger and I'll sing bumper, and you sing kicker and I'll sing copper.
Banger and bumper and kicker and copper, and Bingo was his name, sir.
You sing banger and I'll sing bumper, and you sing kicker and I'll sing copper.
Banger and bumper and kicker and copper, and Bingo was his name, sir. The miller, he bought him a barrel of ale and called it right good Stingo.
S-T-I-N-G-O.
Banger and bumper and kicker and copper, and Stingo was its name, sir.
You sing banger and I'll sing bumper, and you sing kicker and I'll sing copper.
Banger and bumper and kicker and copper, and Stingo was its name, sir.
You sing banger and I'll sing bumper, and you sing kicker and I'll sing copper.
Banger and bumper and kicker and copper, and Stingo was its name, sir. The miller, he went to town one day and bought a wedding ring, oh, R-I-N-G-O.
Banger and bumper and kicker and copper and
Ringo was its name, sir.
You sing banger,
I'll sing bumper,
and I'll sing kicker,
I'll sing copper.
Banger and bumper and kicker and copper and Ringo was its name, sir. Now is not this a pretty tale? I say it is by Jingo, J-I-N-G-O. Banger and bopper and kicker and copper, say it is by Jingo. You say banger and I'll say bopper, and you say kicker and I'll say copper. Banger and bopper and kicker and copper and
Bingo.
Stingo.
Ringo.
And so to the Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And tonight, we present a close-up on television.
Will it ever replace entertainment? Well, now first, let's ask one or two people for their views. You, sir, what do you think of television?
Well, I think it's wonderful. If you close your eyes, it's just like radio.
Yes, I never thought of that, really. Now, here's a lady. Do you watch television, madam?
No, no, but my little nephew's very keen on it. It's ideal for him. You see, he's old enough to stay up for the late night programs, but still young enough to enjoy them.
Yes, yes. Well, now you, sir, what do you like most about television?
Oh, the sport every time. I watch every football match that's televised.
Do you, yes. Haven't you ever actually been to a game?
Well, as a matter of fact, only last week I went to my very first football match. I was surprised.
Well, how do you mean?
Do you know, I was amazed.
Why?
It's all in colour.
Well, those are just a few opinions from viewers, which seems to prove the old saying, it's better to give than to receive. Anyway, let's turn our attention now to those who provide television entertainment, the famous personalities who appear night after night and whose unperturbed faces show nothing of the stress and strain that goes on behind the scenes. Listen to one such personality as he talks to a close friend.
Hello, Rodney.
Hello, Charles. It's so good of you to let me come to the studio and watch you televise. It must be pretty nerve-wracking.
Sheer agony. Weeks of rehearsal, a constant struggle to remember one's lines, and that terrible fear that the public aren't going to like one.
Oh, nonsense. You know you're as popular now as you ever were.
Yes, but how long can it last? People are very fickle, you know. One's only as good as one's script.
Oh, don't worry, Charles. I know you sometimes have pretty impossible things to say, but your personality always manages to shine through.
Stand by, studio. 10 seconds to go.
This is the moment I dread. I get so nervous. How do I look, Rodney?
Immaculate. Good luck, Chess.
Thanks, Rodney.
Stand by, sir. Stand by, sir. You're on.
Good evening. Well, there's been rain again in most areas today. And the third out of this...
Well, now that television has broadened its scope to include advertising, the magazine program selling various products is fast becoming as popular as the more serious offerings of the drama department. In fact, it's possible soon we shall get the two combined.
Television Warehouse presents Forbidden Love. Get some today.
Darling Reggie.
Darling Caroline. This is madness, darling. Are you sure your husband won't hear us?
Quite sure, Reggie. He's asleep. The deep, satisfying sleep that comes only with Relaxo. Oh, don't worry, darling. Come over here and sit beside me on the couch.
Oh, it's a multi-spring rest-you-well, comfy, cozy, dual-purpose sectional sofa.
My dear, I wouldn't be without it. Oh, Reggie, it seems a lifetime since...
What was that?
Nothing, my sweet.
Sorry, these illicit meetings put me on edge.
You need a tonic. Try Pinolin, it works wonders.
And kiddies love it. Oh, Caroline, come closer.
Oh, Reggie.
This is what's been going on behind my back. You prefer Reggie Carpenter to me.
Well, look at his hair. It's so well kept and lustrous.
Yes, I use Multigleam.
Thanks for the tip. Well, Reggie, this is the end of the line.
John, where did you get that gun?
It was a free gift and a packet of oatmeal. The Wonder cereal. It goes snap, click.
Look what you've done, John. The man I love lying there on the carpet in a pool of blood.
Never mind. Zippo will remove the stain.
Well, opinions will always vary as to the most popular television shows, but high on the list must always be those fascinating programs about animals, like Zoo Quest and On Safari. Now, these are actually filmed in the wilds by great naturalists such as Armand and Michaela Dennis. We thought you'd like to meet them at work, so we sent our own commentator, Cecil Snaith, on safari.
I'm speaking to you now from the heart of the African jungle. I'm actually standing beneath the giant kookaburra tree, which towers above me, its rich green foliage practically blotting out the sun. Here, in this tiny forest clearing, the television cameras are set up ready to capture all the strange sights and sounds of this savage wilderness. In a moment, you'll be meeting one of the world-famous couple who risked so much to bring you a glimpse of the unknown and unexplored African jungle. Ah, here comes someone now. Yes, it's Michaela Dennis, wearing a lovely leopard skin. Oh. And this is Cecil Snaith from the top of the giant kookaburra tree, returning you to the studio.
Thank you, our top commentator, Cecil Snaith. Well, finally, let's consider the effect television has on our everyday lives. Is it really habit-forming? Do we allow ourselves to be governed by it? Well, take the case of Mr. and Mrs. Stipley of 14 Clissold Avenue, Neasden.
Felicity?
Yes, Ambrose.
It's about time we got out of this terrible rut. When did we last go out for the evening?
1947.
Oh, it's disgraceful, Felicity. Here we sit night after night staring into a corner of the room like two hypnotized dummies. And the washing up never gets done. You're too lazy to go out and get the coal. We don't say a word to each other until it's time for bed.
But, Ambrose, it's not so very extraordinary. Thousands of other families do the same thing.
Yes, but they've got television sets.
This is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought. Does a fish shop proprietor ever have a chip on his shoulder? Good night.
You have either been listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show which gave employment to Kenneth Horne, and also to Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, Patricia Lancaster, the Fraser Hayes Four, and the BBC Variety Orchestra conducted by Paul Fennelly. The script, believe it or not, was written, and letters of complaint should be sent to Eric Merriman and Barry Took. However, the onus must inevitably fall on our producer, Jakes Brown. ¶¶